Welcome along to The Short Ball. It's a podcast with Scotty and Mills, and we're here on Rugby Pass and talking all things Mitre 10 Cup, a couple of issues around the All Blacks, some Farah Palmer Cup as well. And we thought, Millsy, today on The Short Ball, because we're coming into spring, we'd talk to a man who's got a spring in his step and a slug on his top lip. And that is none other than County's Manukau hooker, Joe Royal. Kia ora, bae.
Hey, kia ora, brother.
Now, Joe, Millsy and I were out at Pukekohe last night at Navigation Home Stadium watching you boys go around with the Steelers taking on the Taranaki Bulls. And it's fair to say, mate, that you have one of the most unique slugs going on in all of rugby right now. Something you've been working on, Joe?
Yeah, started off with the full beard. I was trying to go for your look, mate.
I wouldn't recommend that.
And then just saw old County's footage, old Boof. He gets up for that sort of stuff, eh? So he showed us a couple of old school clips and spotted a mo out there. So I thought I'd better try and bring something back here and rock one of those 70s moves.
How about when you rolled it? You rolled it during rehearsal.
You saw that we were waiting for the game, and you walked down the tunnel to warm up, and you gave the ends a tweak. You gave the ends a bit of a waxing on the way out. You were thinking about how your mo was looking.
Oh. Yeah, you gotta. I guess that if it can get some TV time, you gotta make it look good on the end.
Brilliant.
Now, Joe.
KT gave me heaps as I ran out.
Yeah, we might have told him to do that to you, Joe. I've got another thing to talk about with you. Now, are you still with your partner, Joe?
Yes, we are.
Now, her name's Kelly, and yes. I happen to like Kelly quite a lot. Not in that way, just because she's awesome.
She likes you too.
Thanks very much, Joe. Now, I just want to know, how does Kel feel about this waxy slug on the top of your lip?
Well, first of all, she doesn't have a choice, but I hope she's not listening to that. she's not a fan, but I just said, look, it's just for the season, and it'll come off after that last game or whenever that last game is. But she's getting used to it. She tends to twirl it up for me when I'm just chilling watching TV.
She's just playing with your mo.
Yeah.
Jeez. Well, you guys got a kinky thing going on there. We're going to leave you to that. Also, I don't know if you're aware of this, Joe Royal, but your moustache is very similar to that of a famous New Zealander, Peter Plumley Walker. Have you ever heard of Peter Plumley Walker?
No, do I want to know?
Well, Peter Plumley Walker was a man who liked to frequent dominatrixes, and and unfortunately, she went to get fish and chips. Her name was Renee Chignall, and by the time she came back down, he had suffocated. She had bound him up, and so they threw him over the Hooker Falls, his dead body. A very famous case in New Zealand, but I'm going to post a picture on Rugby Pass with your moustache next to that of Peter Plumley Walker. I hope you don't end up in the same way. That's not what I'm saying.
I hope I don't have the same feet.
But I am a big fan. Last night, too, we cut to the crowd, Millsy, and there was a man who was trying to be just like you, Joe. We were wondering if you had any relations in the grandstand last night.
I actually did see that on the replay, and I don't know the dude, but...
You're all over him, mate. You're all over him. Easily.
I actually don't mind if... County's fans turn up with sporting a mo, then it just shows a bit of support for the Steelers boys.
That's it. I think that should be the plan from here on. If you're a Steelers fan, you've got to grow your mo for the rest of the season. I tell you what, Joe, let's get serious about the footy, though. Gee, you guys are close. You are so there, but it must be a bit frustrating at the moment for you and the boys just not quite getting over the line.
Yeah, well, you know, three games in a row when we're thereabouts, it is frustrating, but... Hey, the boys are positive. We know we got if we string stuff together, we know we got the goods, and we can get some wins under our belt. We should be sweet.
Yeah, you are very close, Joe. But just wanting to know, how's Sam Henwood this morning? Obviously, he suffered a pretty big knock last night. But just have you seen him at all this morning? And has he recovered at all?
Yeah, he came. He's in this morning. He was in the pool with the boys, and that just shows the type of man he is. He's not one to rest, but he said his head's fine. He's starting the protocols now to try and get back to playing. And we were all messaging him last night, and he Awesome. You see, Brian's just got a handsome lip now.
He took quite a knock, that's for sure. Joe, I just want to talk about a couple of players you play with. Someone you're pretty close to for most of the match, Kalolo Tuiloma. Yes. What about his fitness at the moment and how far he's come, even since last season, mate?
Oh, mate, he's unreal. He's had that year of Super Rugby and the Landers have put him through some mahi and he's come back. He's come back in awesome shape, and you can see it when he's out there on the field. We probably missed him last week against the Bay. Just those dominant carries and his stuff around his work around the ruck. So, but he's awesome, mate. He's pretty solid for us.
Joe, I mean, you spoke about it before, and mentioning the fact you are there or thereabouts against Auckland. You started well. There's just patches where you sort of take your foot off the button against Bay of Plenty. You've come back and almost pipped it at the end. I thought you were a little bit unlucky in that game. Tanaro Latima actually pulled that maul down. I messaged him after that. but also, last night's game as well, particularly in the first half, you're very dominant. I mean, is that something the coaches, what have the coaches put their, your finger on? What have they said about some of the stuff you need to work on to make sure you do get a complete game together? Because if you do, man, you guys are pretty lethal.
Yeah, I think it's just those capitalising and taking hold of those little moments where, like you said, just one little lapse, maybe a drop ball or a penalty, and then it just keeps building. Like we get another penalty or we drop another ball and stuff like that. We just got to tidy up those things, those little one percenters. And when we're on, and I guess when we're off, we sort of panic a bit. But the boys stay positive, and that's all the coaches ask for. And we just tidy up those small things, those one percenters, and like you said, we should be humming.
Well, you got another chance this weekend against Hawke's Bay, my bro. So best of luck there. Mo Royale joining us on the Short Ball podcast today. You keep growing that slug, buddy. I'm a massive fan, as you well know.
Awesome. Yeah, I think we're trying a couple of the mates down home. They're calling it the Mojo Crew or something.
I can get behind that. The Mojo.
The Mojo, yeah. And Tavita Nabura's mullet.
Tavita Nabura's Fijian mullet, before you go, do you want to discuss what's going on with that litter his?
Man, I think you said it, Mills. You used to rock one.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes,
no,
you did.
I think he said something that he like, idolized you with. I'm gonna get that Millsy haircut. You rock it, brother.
You need to buy him some Soul Glow, mate. You need to chuck that in there. Joe Royal out of the Steelers, brother. Always a pleasure to chat to you. Good luck for the rest of the season, mate.
Thanks, boys. We'll catch up during the season.
Awesome, so, brother. Cheers, mate. Joe Royal joining the Short Ball today. Hell of a man, Joe. And his partner, Kelly, she's awesome too. He's a Bay of Plenty boy. Come up and played for Ponsonby and now plying his trade with the Steelers. Throws a great dart at line-out time.
Yeah.
It looks like he's been on the glass barbie when he's throwing the ball in. He's very intense on the throw.
Mm. Well, at least he's like behind the line.
He's behind the line.
I mean, Ricky Riccatelli was—he's great. He's great, but it's smart. If he wants to step over that line and the assistant referee doesn't pick it up, good on him.
Okay, so we brought it up last night, right? Now the hooker, when he throws the ball on, has to be standing behind the line, i.e., on the outside of the line, the touch line. Now you've got three referees: the referee with the whistle and two assistant referees, and they're doing a great job. Don't get me wrong. This is not a criticism of referees, but they're all looking at things that are happening 20 meters away in the play. And the assistant referee is standing behind the hooker with his flag up, and he's looking for the straight throw or not. That's the referee's job. And no one is seeing the guy sneaking a foot inside
the touchline.
He does
sneak it, eh? He does.
Absolutely. And it's commonplace in the game now. And these are the little things. Like, if you can't get the little things right by law, there's no point going after the big complex things.
Yeah.
In front from kickoffs. That's another one. That's a bugbear of a lot of people in the game. These are fundamental rules that give teams an unfair advantage.
Yeah, but they did pick up one. It was actually another hooker. Well, it was our man Joe Rural. I mean, he left at 15-metre mark, relatively pretty early, and they picked that up. But you're right, it is those little wee fundamental things. I mean, I think that's one of the things that sort of frustrate you is one minute they pick, being in front of the kicker off kickoffs, and then they just forget about it for a few weeks. Then all of a sudden they pick it up again. And it's times when it's just really crucial that they pick it up. Or not. What's happening now with the feeding into the scrums?
No one knows what's happening with the feeding into the scrums.
Mate, gee.
I don't want to go there. Talk about scrum tactics. Wasn't it interesting last night, Taranaki, they wanted to keep the ball on the back of the scrum and scrum for penalties.
Yep.
They knew they had the advantage over Counties Monaco, and they just kept the ball in the boot. And Nick Bryant knew what was going on, to his credit. And he's saying, mate, guys, it's there, use it.
Yeah.
But they were scrumming for dominance,
yeah,
especially on that second shove. It's quite a clever play against a team that, you know, Counties can hold their own on their own ball.
Oh, yeah, man.
And but when they're defensively scrumming and they're waiting for that second shunt, that's when they were coming under pressure. And they'd won some scrum penalties from it last year. I mean, that sort of thing for me, that's old school rugby tactics, yeah, and I really appreciate that in the game.
Yeah, and it's good too because, I mean, what it does, and particularly last night when Taranaki were down in their own 22, it gave them, you know, relatively easy. Well, it's not an easy, I shouldn't say easy. I mean, it was hard work just scrummaging, getting parity up front and getting a penalty. And all of a sudden, you get a penalty from there, you're in your own 22, you knock it down the other end, and then all of a sudden you're applying that pressure. So it's a momentum swinger. You know, what Joe was talking about there before, you know, they don't get that right, and Taranaki do. All of a sudden they're down the other end, you know, and then, you know, they're picking off, you know, three or so points, and then a try, and then it just changes the whole game.
One of the players involved last night, in fact, very involved, he was the captain of the Taranaki side, Angus Tuttavol. Today, he wakes up and gets a call saying, hey, guess what? Joe Moody's out. You're in the All Blacks. Today on the Short Ball, I want to have a discussion about Angus Tuttavol. First and foremost, what a champion bloke. He has just plugged away for a long time. He had to take his Super Rugby career across to Australia for a couple of seasons just to get a job. Came back, didn't have a gig. Mm. Chiefs picked him up on injury cover.
Mm.
He was huge for them all season long. He's back with Taranaki, his adopted province, where in his first season down in Taranaki, he was awarded Club Man of the Year.
Yep.
And here he is now on the cusp, potentially, of an All Blacks cap. Is this the best story of the year from a rugby point of view, from an international rugby point of view?
Oh, man. I don't know if it's a... how many good stories do we have of these props? I mean, this guy here, and you said it, Sumo. I mean, the fact he went overseas, but come back, didn't have a contract, didn't have a job, got called in because the Chiefs had massive injury sort of woes, and then all of a sudden he played huge numbers, huge numbers for the Chiefs, and now he's called into the All Blacks. I mean, the resilience you have to show, the trust in yourself, mm-hmm, to go back also and look after yourself. Now you're playing Mitre 10 Cup, but also lift to another level, and now you get an opportunity to get into that All Black environment and fight for your first cap. What an amazing story.
I wonder too whether this is, and I'm not saying Angus is being used as a political football here, but yeah, he's come back to New Zealand. He hasn't gone out of Super Rugby. He hasn't taken a contract overseas, even if one was offered to him. He's come back. He's really put his heart and soul into the Chiefs this year and then into Taranaki. I mean, is this the All Blacks saying, don't go, boys? Don't go away. Your chance can still come.
Well, it's definitely saying something, isn't it? I mean, it's saying, you know, here's a guy in that he perhaps didn't even think he was on the radar. Mm. And so you always are. What I love about it is, you know, nowadays, because we've got so much young guys coming through, and particularly in the backs, you know, you're coming out of school, perhaps 1 year playing super, and all of a sudden you're in the All Blacks. This here is you know, what traditionally it's been all about, you know, getting in the All Blacks way back in the early days, where you grinded away, then all of a sudden, you know, okay, you may have had a little bit of luck because guys were injured, but you make your own luck. Mm. All of a sudden you get an opportunity, like they say, once you get an opportunity, you make the most of it. This Angus has done that right from the very beginning. He could have easily gone to the Chiefs and thought, well, I'm the fourth or whatever prop. You know, I might get dealt to every game or so. That never happened. He fronted week in, week out. And now, again, as a captain and as a leader, and that's inspirational for guys, you know, that are coming through the grades, and particularly now for the Taranaki guys, to look up to someone like that who's persevered throughout his career and now gets a shot at the All Blacks. Wow.
Totally well. Yeah, I know. I'm thrilled for the bloke. And, yeah, I hope he enjoys every second of it because that's a guy who really has put in the mahi and earned it. You know, he's put himself in the frame. And that's, as you say, Millsy, that's what it's all about. Interestingly, while Angus has come back to New Zealand and I guess, rekindled his career here and shown everyone the prowess that he has, Another story during the week, and we should discuss it today on the short ball, was a story in the New Zealand Herald that Beauden Barrett won't be turning his back on the All Blacks jersey post 2019 Rugby World Cup. It was written matter-of-factly as well. If Beauden Barrett signs on post 2019 and doesn't have a sabbatical clause in his contract, I've been following the wrong game. I mean, I know Beauden Barrett is probably very well paid, and I frankly don't give a shit how much he gets paid. That's up to him and his employer. But there is no way, if he continues his form, that a club is not going to come to him and say, mate, I could quadruple that, come for a season. Dan Carter did it. Jerome Kano did it. Manonu did it. They've all done it. And it's surely Beauden Barrett says, you know what? Yes, I want to be here for 2023, but I'm going to take a break. Not for money, necessarily, but to say, you know, I'm going to get out of the bubble for a while. Mm. I mean, and it's this. I'm sick of this conversation always being hedged in terms of how much money these guys are getting. There are so many more reasons. You know this, Millsy. You've done it. There are so many more reasons guys need to get a break from New Zealand rugby and head overseas for an experience.
Yeah, and Ben Smith done it. You know, and what you find is you actually... you have a hunger to come back, and it's just been an opportunity to get back, you know, get out of the environment, you know, and it's the mental side of things. Even little niggles that you've had, you know, a lot of these guys still playing little wee niggles that they've nursed for a number of years. So just being able to get out in the environment, refreshing, and come back. I mean nowadays, yes, the money's massive, and it's not always the influencing thing about guys heading overseas, but there's Beauden Barrett would be absolutely silly if he just keep grinding away here like they take a sabbatical, make some money, boy.
But I mean, this is just the contracting environment in which I was intrigued by the timing of that story. The guy's just played the house down. He is the talk of the town, and then all of a sudden, a story appears that there's no way he's going anywhere post 2019. That seemed an extraordinary story to be running, a long way out, may I add. And I just wonder the motivation behind that story and whose story that came from. Beauden Barrett wasn't quoted in that story. Where is that information coming from? Because if you're looking to sign a guy up long term, as New Zealand rugby should certainly be doing, have things changed? Because you've given Carter in the past this opportunity to get away for a while. You've given other players of Beauden Barrett's ilk the chance to get away for a while. Is that going to suddenly change, is it?
Oh, I don't think it would. And that's the thing. For guys like this, it's... They want to be an All Black as long as they can. Mm-hmm. But the reality is, you know, they've got to also, you know, you have a break from it. Have a break from Super and things like that. And, you know, there's no way New Zealand rugby are going to compete with those massive clubs overseas, because I'll just throw massive coin at it. But to be able to take a break and go away, I don't know. Yeah, I sort of certainly haven't sort of read that story, but I have heard whispers about it. But no, I'd say it'd be an absolute... unless... they know that the taxpayers are going to pay for Beauden Barrett now.
The taxpayers are not paying for Beauden Barrett.
They might have an inside knowledge. The broadcasting minister got fired, didn't they? So,
well, yeah, for being an egg.
Well, perhaps the new one's thinking they might chuck some broadcasting.
No, there's no. Also, may I add, New Zealand Rugby does get funded by the government. They got funded for both Sevens team for the Olympic program.
Oh, yeah?
Millions of dollars worth. So, you know, they're getting funded. Mm-hmm. That's another story. I don't even want to go there. Hello, Producer Ellis.
Hello.
Now, here's a question for you, Producer Ellis, on the short ball today. Now, if a big French podcast came along and said to you, you know what, here's a lot more than you're earning producing the short ball here in the Auckland studio, would you take that?
Yeah. I'd shed a few tears.
No, you said far
I'd too quickly. I'd write a nice card for you guys.
Does the manner of the short ball not make up for it?
How long was that pause?
There was a microsecond, if that.
Look, I'm young. I need to be saving money. I have like $400 in my KiwiSaver.
Oh, so it's all about get me? So it's all about the money.
Yeah, absolutely.
I can't believe you, Alice. I thought we had something greater going on here.
Yeah, that's why it's just about the money. I can't put the personal stuff into it because then it'd be too hard.
Oh, you don't want to get emotion involved.
Yeah, This is business.
This is business. Mm-hmm. Fair enough.
Everyone's different.
Yeah, that's true. Well, we know where you stand, Alice.
Are you sad?
Yeah, I am a little bit.
Well, I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. It'll take me a while to recover.
I'm with you.
What, yeah, you'd go too?
You. No, I support her. I'm supporting her. That's the way she
You're better than that.
Well, that's the way she feels.
Supporting
mate.
Me.
Good on you.
I think you're better than this, Scotty.
Well, that's true. I am better than this. I need to refocus here and talk about the rest of the Mitre 10 Cup this weekend, including my Taniwha. We need to discuss the Taniwha. We need to discuss Rennie Ranger. Is Rennie Ranger the most preternaturally gifted casual rugby player in the world right now? Like, effortlessly cool on a rugby field.
Yeah. Yeah, he is. Just the way he's come back, and oh, he's been great, isn't he? I mean, what he's done for that side, and particularly against Auckland. I mean, when he played that first game against North Harbour, I thought he was looking a little bit, big, but then he looks slimmer. And then the way his influence on the game against Auckland was massive, and so having him back has been huge. And a lot of guys struggle to come back after being overseas. He's certainly one of the guys that hasn't. And the X factor that he sort of has is just amazing to watch, isn't it?
I'd be terrified marking Rennie Ranger. It wouldn't matter about the end result. I just, to know that he's opposite you and you're going, what is he going to do next?
Yeah. There was also that shot once when he lined up Harry Plummer and just sort of ran straight at him. Good on you, Harry Plummer, getting down low, boy.
Yeah, Harry got in the way. Just the Jutabar tackle. It's the only way to go on Rennie Ranger. Taniwha got an interesting assignment against Taranaki. Taranaki will still be favoured in that game, even though it's the last one of their Storm this Sunday afternoon. But you've got to think, the Taniwha have showed some glimpses of some real quality footy. And I know I'm biased here because I love the Taniwha, but even so, it's a team that, like Counties Monaco, is not far away.
Yeah. I was just going to say that, similar to the way that Counties have been. I mean, last week they dominated that first half and you just thought they were going to come back out and sort of really explode. But Auckland started to win all those big moments and all of a sudden, it was a convincing win. You kind of feel if they got a few things together, they'll be outstanding. Their forward pack gets them going forward. But what I like about them also is the ability to be able to get a bit of structure off counter-attack. They scored a really good try off a high ball catch, and then they shot down the blind, and I think it was Ranger actually that scored that. So it's a funny competition, isn't it, Sumo? Because usually, I mean, the third week in, and you're thinking, okay, we're almost there or thereabouts. The reality with this Mitre 10 Cup is that you only really have one or two weeks. I mean, look at the position the Counties are in and also Northland. If they don't quite get it in the next couple of weeks, the season's over because it's such a sprint, isn't it?
Yep. Well, a little bit different in the Championship because you've still got a whole lot of teams winless because they played crossover matches to start their season. But yeah, the Premiership's ruthless, mate. And, Counties Monaco have got Hawke's Bay this weekend. Again, they're in the middle of their storm. So they've got to start getting some wins. Bonus points ain't going to save them in this competition. So a little bit of work to do. Also, Saturday, Millsy, the Farah Palmer Cup begins. And I'm quite excited about this. In fact, great story up on rugbypass.com from Taylor Curtis, who played with the Canterbury side that had their maiden title last year. She wrote a great story about the season and what it meant and why they're looking forward to this year. But it all starts with the Storm taking on the Cyclones at Bell Park in Pukedunga. The Auckland Storm should be the strongest team in this competition. Yep. But over the last couple of seasons, they've just gone away from their form. And this team was unbeatable for years in the Farah Palmer Cup. Fiotu Falmasili is not playing in this one, so they're going to rely pretty heavily on the likes of Lindery Tunu, who will start on the bench, Same McMenamin on the loose, and also Natalia Moore's on the wing. So some of their veterans, but a very young-looking side. Up against the Manawatu team that is always going to be improving, but they too down on power at the moment. Christina Sue and Vaini Gregg in that back line with Salika Winiata, pretty much the real strength of the show. So it's going to be interesting to see where Auckland starts in this game because they've got a lot of cattle to bring back, but they're starting with youth.
Yeah, and you're right, Sumo. The Storm have lost their way in the last couple of years or so, but perhaps it's due to the fact the competition's gotten better as well. I mean, the growth, and we spoke about this, leading up, going over to Pukekohe in the car last night, the fact that the skill level of some of these ladies, if I can call them ladies, I mean, they're just amazing.
I don't think they mind being called ladies.
No, they don't mind. Oh, that's good. Well, the thing is, and I said to you, like you used to go into games, way back then, and you're just thinking, okay, these girls just run it straight and either someone just gets smashed or anything. But when you're watching them, step off their left, step off their right, the ball handling skills, the kicking, Kendra, Coxage, particularly of both feet. I mean, it's the skill level in this women's game has just lifted, and so I'm really looking forward to the start of the season. Obviously, the Storm and how they they sort of come back, and particularly with some of the younger players before the big guns come back into it. But there's some fairly good competition all around, isn't there?
Well, Babe Plenty got a tough task taking on Kendra Coxedge in the Canterbury side this week. No, Rebecca Todd, she's not in the squad anymore, winning number eight last year. But Babe Plenty have signed good players in the likes of Les Elder, Niketu, Renee Wycliffe will be playing for Babe Plenty this year. Again, a young team, but they're surrounded by women at the top of their game, especially with the Sevens girls now being centred in Mount Maunganui. So a lot of these women are going to get a chance to be around the top flight players in the game. But a tough ask for the freshly promoted Bay of Plenty Volcanics to come up against the defending champs.
Canterbury, isn't it? Yeah, it is. It's going to be a tough ask. But, I mean, it's a good way for them to sort of to see where they're at, you know, particularly early on in the round. And as you say, you know, I think Wycliffe coming back in, she'll be massive, and her experience will be huge there. But you're right. I mean, down in Tauranga, where they have the Sevens now, you know, based down there, it's a great way for these ladies to come through and actually, you know, see what high performance is all about.
One last game in the Wharepama that I'm looking forward to is Waikato taking on Counties Manukau, the neighbours, and that game's getting played in Tikawiti as well.
Is it?
Hey, geez. Counties Manukau, we know, are going to put out a powerful pack. I showed you that shot of Tamara Leaf absolutely extinguishing Grace Brooker in the final last year?
Man.
That still sends shivers down my spine, that tackle.
She got sin-binned for that.
She got binned, but even better, Grace Brooker just bounced up as if it ain't no thing.
It was like, yeah, I'll place the ball and get up. I like that. Jeez. Yeah, that's tough.
Seriously, melted her.
Yeah,
best tackle of the year by a country mile. Yeah, biggest hit of the year.
I kind of questioned it when I seen it last night. I was thinking, well, how can that have been a yellow card? I mean, if she had sort of fallen at the same time and fallen on top of her and wrapped her arms, it's one of those things, isn't it? But man, it was a huge hit.
That was great. That's good stuff. Well, Waikato too. Chelsea Alley really stands as the real experience in their back line now. They've lost a lot of players. Les obviously went across to Bay Plenty last year, but you know, I think Waikato have a chance to be one of the powerhouse provinces in the game. Mm. But I look through their squad and it's just light on experience. And I think Counties will have enough to account for that this weekend.
Yeah, and you'd think so, given, I mean, Counties, you know, going into that final last year, were the favourites, having, you know, home advantage as well. And so, you know, I'd imagine that, you know, they'll play on their minds throughout this whole season. So they'll be looking for a good start. And as you say, experience, particularly in the Wharepama Cup, is huge. And, you know, you just sort of sense that the, you know, Waikato team are actually trying to build something over the next couple of years.
I hope they do. Tasman will take on Taranaki, Hawke's Bay, Wellington and Otago, North Harbour. That's the first round of the Wharepama Cup. If you're wondering, two divisions, just like the Minor 10 Cup. So Auckland Bay, Plenty, Canterbury, Counties, Manukau, Manawatu and Waikato in the Wharepama Cup Premiership. Hawke's Bay, North Harbour, Otago, Taranaki, Tasman and Wellington in the Championship. I guess what's great is the growth of the game. Only two provinces now out of the 14 top flight provinces in the country do not have women's teams.
Yeah, with Stags and
Stags and Northlands. So the tip and the tail. Tip and the tail, mate.
Oh, mate.
Our old homes need to get their shit together immediately.
Stags will get it. Yeah, they'll sort themselves.
Well, what's interesting is that one of the stars of the women's game right now, Elena Saili, has come up from Southland because she wants to be playing, and she started with Otago and has come through the system. And there's also players out of Te Tai Tokoro out of Northland who are travelling all the way south to Counties just to play rugby to train. Now, if you live in Whangarei and you're travelling to Pukekohe to train rugby, I can give you the tip. That's a 3-hour one-way drive and a 3-hour drive back.
Oh, man. Far out.
Talk about commitment, right?
That is, man. That's huge.
That's Andy Earle level commitment. Everyone used to praise Andy Earle for his 6-hour round trip to go to Canterbury training. Well, these women are doing it on a daily basis.
Far out. How do you change? Whoa. Mm-hmm. Stuff that.
Mm-hmm.
That's commitment, right?
Yeah, 100.
Is there flights?
Yeah, you could get on a plane, I suppose. Be quicker.
Grab a seat.
More expensive. Should we get Air New Zealand to sponsor them?
Mate, that'd be awesome.
There you go.
Imagine that.
Hey? It's 20 free flights a year. Air New Zealand could handle that. They made almost record profits.
Oh, I'd give them some of my airpoints.
How much airpoints have you got?
Oh, a couple hundred.
Is that it? What have you done with them all?
Oh, don't you lose them?
You'd have a bank chair, surely. Mate, you spent 100 test matches flying around the world and you've got no air points left?
Mate, I spent probably about 5 years.
What?
There's no Air New Zealand overseas. Yeah, that sucked when you lost your gold elite, didn't it?
Did you not get some bank years?
Nah, I didn't. And then I used them to go like to America and stuff.
You're a wasteful person, Mills Mulley. I know.
I'm very thankful too, in New Zealand. Yeah, very thankful.
You got that plug-in, really?
Yeah.
You're going to get a plug-in.
Sky Sport now helping me out. Can you get those numbers up?
Get out of here. Have you finished?
What? Hey, I'm this far away from being gold.
What? How far?
Well, I'm.
We're not here to discuss your air points level.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm sure you're getting sick of me following you into that lounge. I'm getting sick of swiping my ticket and it comes up red.
I'm so not letting you in the lounge from this point on. That's been the short ball. Our last one for winter. It is springtime in New Zealand. Looking forward to the daffodils growing. Millsy, I'll pick you a bunch. Did you bring your avocados in?
I'll bring them tonight. First of September. And happy birthday. First birthday to my youngest son, Mackenzie.
Hey.
Little bugger.
Hey, happy birthday, little Mac.
Here you go. The New Zealand flight.